This episode is brought to you by Hulu Plus. With Hulu Plus, you get total control to watch thousands of shows wherever you want, whenever you want. Binge on full seasons and watch your favorite current shows like Community, South Park, SNL, and more. Right now, our listeners get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus by going to HuluPlus.com/Joey. Again, that's HuluPlus.com/Joey.
Lowercase. Oh, shit. It's that time of the day. It's that time of the week. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Are you kidding me or what? Monday, June 10th, 6 o'clock tonight, the Dr. J documentary. Get your shit together. Lee Leland here, and a little fucking zombie for you on a Monday. Kick that motherfucker, Lee. Kick it, Lee. Hit it. Oh, shit, Lee, hit this motherfucker.
Is this Rob Zombie?
This is White Zombie.
It's called White Zombie, but I thought it was Rob.
Are you kidding me or what? Look at you. You're burning shit. You're ruining the reefer. It's Monday, June 10th. Get up. Drink some coffee. Some push-ups. Wash those fucking nuts. Scratch them and smell your fucking fingers. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive here on the church of what's happening now. What? All right, Lee, enough. What is this, American Bandstand, cocksucker? What's going on,
Every
baby?
Time I turn down the music, where's the music go? Now I live on for 30 seconds. I was telling Joey when it came in, I think he just picked something that's happening in front of him and he complains about it. He probably loves Ranch. Just he was at the, he was talking one day. He was just talking one day.
I fucking
like,
hate
Ranch is in front of me. I hate Ranch. Fucking complain about everything. But I'm feeling good.
I'm not complaining. I'm breaking your balls. There's a big fucking difference about complaining and breaking somebody's goddamn balls. I hope everybody had a fucking phenomenal weekend. Everybody's safe. Everybody's healthy. We had a great fucking weekend. Friday night. Went over to jiu-jitsu, went over to the Ice House, hung out with Rogan and Tom Rhodes and Red Man. It was good to see those fucking savages. Saturday, Lee came over. We got fucking baked. We watched the UFC. He called me an hour later. I dosed him with a roofie.
You didn't pick up.
Oh, because I went to sleep. I was just as high as you were, cocksucker.
I wasn't high at your house, though. I was like, all right, this isn't that bad. Like, I thought it was
I told
just...
you. The cookie was 18 milligrams.
That's what you said.
Cracker.
That's what you said. But then I got home, and I sat down on my bed, and I fucking went off. It was like a delayed release. And then you had mystery weed that was in a hash container,
well,
but you said
happened.
It wasn't hash.
Let me tell
but
you
I know
happened.
It was hash.
Let me tell you what happened. First off, Friday afternoon, I got a lot of... We talk about customer service, and we talk about companies that we love, or, you know... You got my man Tafoya with his t-shirt company. You got somebody who sent us hoods this weekend. I got to write it all down. So Wednesday, remind me they sent us hoods.
Oh, sweet.
We got a mechanic fucking poster in the mail.
Wow.
And we got the stuff from Duck Dynasty. They sent my niece a t-shirt.
Really?
You're from Duck Dynasty. So I you know, hey, listen, this is what it's all about. We all work together. Friday, like I said, I got a lot of love from Auntie Dolores. And it's not because she makes great fucking edibles. It's because... the story that went behind it. And she's just not up there fanning her pussy. You know, she's up there fucking working. She was in L.A. for a week doing demos. That's where they go to a weed store and just cut fucking edibles and give it away to free to people to let people know what it's all about. So I advertised it on Twitter. I was going to be there. I went from 4 to 5. I mean, how many fucking edibles can you eat before you see purple? And I went down there, and she gave us a fucking bag. I mean, this bag... was filled to the top.
Yeah, that's a big bag now.
It's a big bag.
When I went over on Saturday,
I had
what
it
happened?
Since Friday. I
what
gave
did you
some
have
away.
Yesterday?
I took some to the Ice House. I ate some yesterday at Ralphie's. These are the cheese crackers. These are usually 180 milligrams.
There's still 180 milligrams.
No, you get two cookies.
I don't believe you.
For 180 milligrams, 90 milligrams a piece. So this is probably 30. So this is what I'm saying to you, fucko.
Now that's
you also
not 30.
Get, you also get
you.
The caramel corn, which is delicious. You also get, look at this shit, pretzels and peanuts for beer. These fucking peanuts will fuck you up. You also get this combination, which is caramel corn and pretzels. Caramel corn and peanuts, which is like Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, you were trying to get me to do Cracker Jacks. You're like, let's mix
that's
them
right.
all together and we'll do
let's
Cracker
want
Jacks.
Some, want some peanuts?
No, we just
then what the
some.
Fuck, guy? This is what I'm talking about.
We just
about.
Had some.
What do we
have?
Oh, you got to finish your piece.
Bro, we'll have that in a minute. I just
oh, come on, finish it.
I literally just had it. Give me 2 minutes.
Well, we got to get the party. You got to
well,
get the blood
party
going.
Is started.
You got to do some jumping jacks to get the THC kicking into the fucking bloodstream. So I want to just give a shout out to Auntie Dolores and what she does. Go to her website. If you're in California, Denver, all the fucking states that are smoking with three hands, you see Auntie Dolores, you get the fucking peanuts, you get the caramel corn, it's delicious. You got a nephew that's kind of fucking retarded. He's 11 or something. You give him a bag of his fucking popcorn. Let the pieces fall where they may. Fuck that little retarded cock tucker.
What's a cock tucker?
Whatever the fuck he is. So I want to thank her. I love when people, you know, I'm sick and tired of people going, there's no business. Last Wednesday, I did a club, Vive.
Okay.
In Pomona. There was 200 people in there. You know why?
Why?
Because they work with the fucking public. They had happy hour. They had tacos for a dollar. You follow me? Once you let people know that there's a fucking recession and shit's going on and you give them a deal, you know, they're still doing buckets for $6. They're still doing $2 beers during the comedy show. They had 200 fucking people in there.
Yeah, we went to Morton's the other night before your daughter's baptism, and they had like really cheap happy hour at the bar. Like, it's like a fancy restaurant.
Oh, Artie Morton's. Yeah. During the week. You gotta. You can't. Everything can't be. Wait till you smell this fucking fuck.
I don't want to smell it. Why are you blowing it for me more? What is happening?
You know what? Whenever you see sour cream and black beans and you put them together in something, there's going to be a problem.
Oh, you had Mexican food last night?
I had Chipotle in the afternoon, for lunch with my wife.
Oh, so it's been cooking for a while.
Cooking in my asshole. And I had black beans and sour cream, and I farted this morning in the shower, and I almost slipped and broke my neck. I thought I had jerked off. You ever jerk off in the shower and your toe catches the sperm, and you fucking slip like that?
I don't do it in the shower. I live alone. I do it where I want. I can do it right here.
You're a filthy fucking
what?
Jew.
You know taste it just because I do wherever I want. I don't do it in the public area. I don't do it on the couch.
I fucking hope not, you filthy fuck.
Why? Like, you come in every time. Anytime I ever talk about a girl.
You're on the couch.
You grab a tit. You grab a tit, man.
Sure, you got to do something. Last night, he went to see Cosby with this girl, Ashley. Again, people. No pussy, Ashley. It's over, you
fuck. Bill Cosby was great. Again, I don't care what you say.
He didn't touch her leg. He didn't go for a tit. I asked him, did she kiss her on the cheek to thank you for gas right there at the end of the night?
No, she paid for her ticket.
When she goes to kiss you, you gotta grab that tit.
She didn't.
Not grab it like a fucking runaway slave.
What?
Just like touch it with your thumb. Just when you feel the nipple. When you go to grab her or to hug her, you rub that thumb against the nipple. Women love that shit.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. If they don't do it, they think you're fucking, they think there's something wrong with you.
They love it for you because you're Uncle Joey adorable.
I'm adorable. You give him a smile. Look at this fucking face. Look at these teeth. They're all fucking
green. And they love it.
You're a 24-year-old fucking stud filled with cum. I'm an old fucking faggot. Look at me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like Liberace before the young kid came over.
Bill Cosby was awesome.
Was he good?
He did 2 hours. He did 2 sold out shows. It's gonna be a Comedy Central special. He doesn't need my advertising, but it was that was the first special I ever had. I had himself, the one where he did the dentist bit on VHS.
I love it.
And my dad and I still do that joke. Like the my lip up is on the flow, and it's just it was amazing. Fuck you. It was amazing. So fuck you.
Here you go, cocksucker. Take the other.
Joey told me on Saturday. He said, mind your business. Why are you going to drive down there in traffic? Eat an edible. Listen to the album. You'll be saying fucking thing. It wasn't. It was awesome.
I know it wasn't. Just smoke this and pipe down. You're all excited.
Pipe down.
And eat that edible. That's all you need to fucking do is eat that edible.
I had 3 joints already. And
what 3 joints? We haven't even smoked 3 joints. I only had 1 joint.
No.
A super fucking Blue Dream.
This is not the first joint.
I took a joint of roaches I had.
If this is the same joint, they keep regenerating.
No. That's the first one. That's the second one. I got 2 more up here batting. Look at these motherfuckers. These are Boston Red Sox type bats. And eat the edible. Let's do this. Right, real quick. Dun, 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 dun. Eat the whole fucking thing.
I did.
You left the piece there. No, you didn't. You eat the whole thing. Come on. Cut it out.
I already had a piece.
You had a little tiny piece. And I'm watching you. You think you're a magician. Eat that right now. Pop. Pop, 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 pop.
I need the water. Relax. Fuck.
I'm watching you.
I already had a piece. Why don't
you
have more?
Because we cut it in half perfectly. It's 30 milligrams perfectly. Let's go. Come on.
Why do we have to cut in half? You've fucking been doing it for 30 years.
I swear to God, I'll throw this fucking knife at you. I'll kill you live on a fucking podcast on YouTube. I'll do 30 years because they got me on tape. I swear to God, eat the fucking thing and stop crying. You're
embarrassing. If I don't make it to work tonight, I'm going to charge you.
There's people in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The Dead Squad people all over the country would fucking eat that. There's 2 pieces. Come on, what about the other piece? This ain't dice, cocksucker. Look at him. Look at these guys. Look at him. He's gagging and shit like he's eating ass. Look at him. That's the best chocolate money could buy. That's Lady Godiva.
Yeah, but it's filled with weed.
It's not filled with weed. It's 10 milligrams of fucking weed.
Fucking, it gets smaller each time. First it was 30, now it's 10, then it's 1, then it's negative milligrams.
Eat it, cocksucker. Look at this. It's a beautiful day to be alive. It's Monday. Where's Tony Bennett, cocksucker? Look, he's getting sick.
Fuck. Oh, God. I don't like the taste of weed.
Like the taste of fucking Burger King, cocksucker, don't you?
As opposed to weed, yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. I wanna be around to pick up the pieces when somebody breaks your heart.
This is why you do it. You think I'm funny.
Somebody. Twice as smart. Delicious, that chocolate. Get up, cocksuckers. Jumping jacks.
This is going to be a bad
somebody
day.
You love. Somebody loves you. You miss them. Light a candle. Let them know.
Light a candle for me, please. There's no way I'm surviving today.
We still got another piece.
No, we don't.
Okay. As we used to do with me. Are you fucking kidding me?
It helps your comedy act.
Tony Bennett, 19, whatever.
Giggling at home. My fucking places to go. I'm going to get arrested for DUI.
Loves company. Wait and see.
I may not want to be around. Are you fucking kidding me?
Is there anyone like that you want to see? I know, I don't know if it's different for comedy, but is there like any musician who you want to see?
It's a bunch of people I want to see. Listen, let me tell you. First of all, I want to tell. I woke up last night at 3:30 in the morning thinking about my buddy who died Easter Sunday. Just thinking about how he used to call me Dick. That's what he would call
me. Why would he call you Dick?
Dick, because he would say I was a dick. So he would call me Dick. That big fits. Rubber Dick. You going to come with me?
And big rubber Dick.
He used to call me Dick. And I was just thinking about him. So that song goes out to him today. I miss him a lot, Jimmy Burkle. So I was just thinking. It's so weird how you have these people in your life, these stupid fucking people you giggle with, you know. And you crack jokes with, and you call them once a week, and you say stupid shit to them. And one day they die, you know. And you don't really think about it. You just live your life. And all of a sudden you're like, fuck, he was important or she was important in my life. You know, I wasn't fucking them or grabbing their tit or nothing, but they were my friend.
Was yesterday like an important day with you and him or like
what? No. Yesterday I went to Ralphie's May's kids' birthday party. It was fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah?
It was awesome. It was really awesome. Ralphie knows a valet parking on the bottom of the hill. They had a mule there. The kids were riding little horses. Ralphie's got a little boy who could possibly be a fucking killer. August could possibly be a little fucking savage.
You think so?
Yeah. The little girl's really cute. She's 5, but August turns 4. And he's, you know, you ask him, what did this guy say? And he goes, he's a cocksucker. You know, he's really cute, but I hugged him yesterday. I grabbed him. Let me tell you something, you fuck. When you talk to me, you call me Mr. Diaz. You understand? He's like, yeah. I go, give my daughter a kiss. You're her new fucking bodyguard. That's your little cousin. He gave her a kiss and he hugged her and shit. So we and him are partners now. We're partners.
That's it. It's going to be like her older brother.
So Ralphie had a catered Mexican. He had hot dogs, Hebrew National. I must have had 3 fucking hot. You know, it's amazing how you go to a thing, people cater it, and I didn't give a fuck about the Mexican catered food. I didn't touch that Mexican food. I had the 3 Hebrew National hot dogs that were delicious. With mustard, little raw onions. Ooh.
I was telling you, I just got into raw onions.
Did you? Yeah, I know. What the fuck you been all your life? How the fuck are you 24 years old? What the fuck?
I think
happened?
When you're a kid, at least for me, like you figure out what you like, and you're just like, for the rest of your life, you're like, oh, I don't like that. And like, there's no reason for me not to like it. So like the other, after the live podcast, we met at In-N-Out and got like a single cheeseburger. And they asked,
which for you people who are losing weight, let me tell you something about In-N-Out. If you eat a single cheeseburger without the magic sauce,
yeah,
with a raw onion, it's like 8 or 9 points. You eat in half one of those fries, which I don't like anyway,
because no,
the fries are gross. So if you eat a cheeseburger from In-N-Out and Diet Coke, it's 10 fucking points. It's not too bad.
So yeah, so no, it's fine. Like I had a headache at midnight. She said, "Do you want onions?" I said, "Whatever, fine." And it was delicious.
Delicious.
And
onions is fucking delicious.
I put it on a salad and tuna recently, and it's like I like this. So it's fine.
Oh no, it's great. Weird. No. Wait till I take you to that Cuban place again, Criollo.
Oh, that was good.
Get the thin steak.
Yeah.
With the black beans and rice.
That's what you had.
And I have them cut some onions up.
That's what they put them on. That's what I had.
to put on the fucking rice.
It was delicious.
The raw rice. You're going to call in that number, right, Tarzan? Yeah, yeah. Call me in that number about, you know, whatever 635 is. All right? I appreciate you doing this. All right, so, brother. I love you. God, I'm sorry.
This is behind the scenes. No, so it was this edible's already hitting me, so I'm good for about another 10 minutes.
You asked me a very interesting question, and I got to be strictly honest with you about it.
Which one?
I don't know too many people who went to more concerts than I did when I was at that age.
Yeah.
Okay? And I got to be honest with you. It was like I did them, to get the fuck out of the house. You know, I'm like you. I like to get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah.
And B, to maybe be cool, you know, maybe to be cool in those days. Or whatever the fuck it was, you know? And
yeah.
After concerts I went to, I can be honest with you, it wasn't the concert as much as the journey.
Yeah, it was
like, getting over there, yeah. Like that. Not even, no, the bus into the city, it was snowing, we made the last bus.
Oh, okay.
The train into the city, we got into a fist fight, somebody got hit with a fucking ghetto blaster in the head. Today, something happened. When I got to be like 27, 28, something just happened. And I went to see fucking the Dead in San Francisco. I went to see Sylvester in San Francisco, that gay black guy that sings You Make Me Feel Mighty Real. I went to see a lot of people in small venues, the B-52s. I've been to large venues, you know, like I've never seen Guns N' Roses. That's one band that I stopped going to concerts after that, like 87, 88, that mm-hmm. was it. Now, if I go to those things, no matter what I go to, it's a fucking chore.
Yeah.
It's a fucking chore. I had great seats for the Lakers this year. And the day that I had to go to the Laker game, I didn't want to fucking go. I was stuck. It was like, I'd rather be home.
Yeah. No, it's, especially stuff like that. That's why I've always loved stand-up. I don't know why, it was in Cerritos. It wasn't in, like, it wasn't at, like, the Staples Center. And I've just always loved stand-up. Like, it's not, there's not people walking around with concessions. It's, like, you're sitting down to watch someone. And when you go to see someone like Bill Cosby or anyone like that, like, no one was there to heckle him, and he didn't have an opening act. He came out, got a standing ovation, and did 2 hours on one subject, and it was like Steve Simone was there. We probably sang in different areas, but it was just.
How'd you know Steve Simone was there?
He was the one who told me about it. He was the one who told me about the
tickets. I think he's out of town.
I talked to him. We tweeted afterwards. He was there, but he did 2 hours on one subject. He's 75 years old, so I don't know how much longer. I mean, it's sad to think like that. Sold out both shows. I went on his touring. Said he's touring 3 days a week. He's gonna be in Vegas and San Diego, but the tickets in San Diego are like $400 a pop. So, and this was like $55 last night. So I got the Jewish special. But
it's amazing that I talk to you and you're such a fan of stand-up.
I love it.
Let's get something straight. I never went to a stand-up club till the night I got on stage.
Really? Oh, that's...
Never. Never.
That's like eight of my first dates. I love stand-up.
Number two, I hate me at my point, in this point in my life, and if I tell people, they're going to be pissed at me. Like, I hate theaters. I hate fancy places. I'd rather you motherfuckers come see me at a dingy fucking strip club with no strippers.
Yeah.
Put the light on me. Let's get some $2 fucking drinks. And let's get fucked up for 2 hours and no pressure on me. I'm going to give you the best show of your fucking life.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to give you the best show of my life. I'm going to give you one of those shows, like tonight when I taped the CD. You know, it's either you or the priest where I was relaxed. There was 150 people. I didn't give a fuck. You know, that's what I'd rather do. I'd much rather have a smaller venue where I could connect with everybody. But the clubs don't want that because they don't make money. Bah, 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 bah. For me, that's my fucking dream.
Now let me ask you this, because I'm personally not a huge drinker, and it sometimes takes me out of it at the clubs with like the waiters and waitresses. This was at a theater, so there was no drinks. I'd almost prefer to pay a little bit more
and have nobody fucking around.
Would that be cool? Because
that'd be cool. That'd be cool with me.
Yeah,
I'd rather you eat your fucking meal and get three cocktails left there, and that's it. The doors are locked, and it's you and us. For 3 hours. I came up in a different system. I came up with gentlemen. Well, we weren't gentlemen. We were 5 13-year-olds and 1 14-year-old in a room listening to Pryor or George Carlin. And we would sit there stoned to the gills, giggling. I want to bring it to the same type of level. That's the level I like my comedy. That's why when we discuss doing the CD, the DVD, it's got to be somewhere small and dingy. Yeah. I want bricks behind me. I don't want a stage with a fucking curtain and glitter and people clapping and people with suits on. I want motherfuckers with leather jackets on and Harleys and fucking, you know.
Yeah.
I want real people there.
I thought a lot about you last night because he came out. And like you always say, well, we've been talking about the DVD, and you said just from here, like the chest up, he sat down. He didn't. He stood up like twice. He just he sat down, and it was just. It's like kind of like you, like he commanded attention, and I could just imagine. I mean, in 20 years or 25 years, you'll be his age, and I don't see you wanting. You might not be touring every weekend, but you're not gonna want to stop getting on stage. So
now,
I can see you doing that in 20 years.
To say. Yeah. I'm the only jerk off that doesn't have something to say. But you always want to have something to say. Like right now, I have something to say. I have to talk about my baby being born. What I think.
Yeah.
You know, do I really think I'd be at this point in my life? I never thought I'd fucking be 50. I never thought, you know, and these are the things I got to think about. But I really don't want to talk about it. But he's such a fucking genius.
Yeah.
That he knows how to bring it to fucking life. No. You know, and I should go to more things. I just get so caught. Lee, I slept this weekend. This was the first week I had nobody around.
Well, you've been on the road a lot.
Yeah, you know, 5-6 weeks, and then I had the people in town, then I had my other nephew in town, then if he's not in town, I'm doing a bunch of fucking comedy. This was the first week I did 1, 2, 3 sets. You know, I went to a couple jiu-jitsus, I went to a couple kickboxings, I rode every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my daughter in the mornings. I stopped walking in the morning because I realized that my knee pain was from the walking, even though I put on the fucking sneakers. Or the strong bone has really kicked in.
Well, the cement, yeah, it's cement.
Well, I got those fucking
New Balance.
Thing, the New Balances, so I figured that helped a little bit. But you know what happened? And the strong bones kicked in 2-3 fucking weeks, and now that knee. I'm going to the doctor Tuesday anyway to see what he's got to say to me, because maybe it's arthritis, but at least it's not the knee pain I had 2 fucking weeks ago. So I think once the strong bone, that's why I do it in intervals. I don't stay on it year-round. I do it in intervals because it's like smoking the same weed every day. Every day you're not going to get as high as you did on Monday. You know what I'm saying? How you feeling? How's that edible, cocksucker?
This guy better call soon because I'm about to be able.
You're beautiful. You're fucking beautiful. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a fuck. What's some music for me, Uncle Joey?
Already? All right.
Something, whatever. What time is it? I don't give a fuck.
It's 6:25.
I don't give a fuck. Let's do something. Oh, shit. Get up. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day to be alive. You got the world by the balls, man. Whether you're 25 or 50, guess what? You're in the United States. You can do whatever the fuck you want today. Today. Not tomorrow, not Wednesday. Today. Get up. Write your goals for today. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to stab Lee. Hit it, Lee. From Boston. There you go.
I don't know why we don't wear red every show. This wasn't planned, but red seems to be like the color of the show. Like our eyes get red. We're taking
it's fucking Monday.
We're taking it's the Monday, world by baby. The balls.
It's Monday. It's a fighter's color. It's a fighting color. You got to get out there and grab that motherfucking bite him in the neck. Oh, Eddie Bravo.
I was gonna say,
announced his fight with Hoyler Gracie. I think it's the Gracie. I'm sorry if I pronounced the word wrong. You know, I've been smoking dope since 4:30 this morning, but my friend Eddie Bravo, we went to eat, I met him the other night, Friday night.
Yeah.
I met him at the taco stand by the haha there across the street by the hot dogs. He didn't want to eat nothing. I had 2 tacos and talked to him about it a little bit. Told him he had to get a hold of Mike Dolce and get his nutrition up to par and shit.
Oh, shit. How long, I've heard the stories, but when did he do the last fight? Do you know? Was it like a decade
10
ago?
10 years ago or something. So, yeah, they're going to tighten it up and they're going to go for it. I think they're going to do it in San Diego, so we'll all be there.
Oh, cool.
Representing Eddie fucking Bravo. Eddie Bravo was a good fucking dude. I love him to death and all that shit. By the way, tonight, I don't know if you people know it. I don't know if a lot of kids care or give a fuck. Tonight's the 30th anniversary of when the fucking Philadelphia 76ers swept the Lakers.
Oh, you love the 76ers.
With Moses Malone and Julius Irving. So tonight, out of respect for Strong Island, from Roosevelt, Long Island, they're going to do a documentary on Julius Erving. I've been waiting for this for years.
Is it a 30 for 30?
No. It's on the NBA channel. This is stronger than 30 for... This is Julius Erving.
And it's a whole new series.
This is Julius Erving. And for you people who don't know, you just don't know. You know, they talk about LeBron James. They talk about this guy and Michael Jordan. Listen, there wouldn't be none of these motherfuckers if there was no Julius Erving. And I got to see it. I got to see it, man.
That's so... was that the game you went to with the guy who showed you the hooker or whatever?
Yeah, I went to see... Listen, I went to see a couple net games.
Yeah.
He was a net.
Okay.
With Super John Williamson and shit and Billy Pulse and that cheeseburger. And oh, my God. The ABA was a bunch of black fucking gangsters that slam dunked. They had a three-point line. You ever watch that documentary about the ABA? Like,
no.
John Barone was a Miami Floridian.
Oh, really?
He played for the Miami Floridians.
Oh, I didn't know he was pro.
Fuck yeah, dog.
Oh,
so
shit.
A lot of people from the NBA, Larry Keenan, Artis Gilmore, oh my God, fucking the other guy, the Iceman, George Gervin, San Antonio Spurs. There was only like six teams. Like when the ABA ended, there was like maybe six teams. It was the Kentucky Wizards, I think, the fucking San Antonio Spurs, the New Jersey Nets. It was only a couple teams. That's why when they asked Julius Erving last week on CNN, who are you pulling for? Because I got to be pulling for San Antonio. They're the old motherfucking Spurs. They had this dude called the Iceman, George Gervin.
Yeah.
My God. They just had these flamboyant, black, bad motherfuckers. But one of them was Julius Erving. And I remember coming home and watching him play basketball, bro. It was at a time when I got left back.
Okay. So 8th grade.
It was seventh grade. First time, and I had just gotten left back, and I had played basketball, but I was never really like an avid fan of watching it, and I just watched the Nets one day, and I couldn't believe this black dude with an afro, and the way he would slam dunk and jump over people, and the way he commanded, he was just a gentleman. Then the biggest news ever was the ABA folded, and he went to the 76ers, and New Yorkers were fucking pissed. I talked about it when I was on stage on Long Island. People froze.
Was he on the New York ABA team or something?
He was on the New York Nets. Nets were an ABA team.
Okay.
And the Nets fucking got rid of him to get money to stay in the NBA. So the Sixers paid $6 million for him at the time. That was the highest paid basketball player of all time. And he took the number 6. His number was originally 32 when he was a Net. But when he went to the Sixers, he turned it into Julius Erving, number 6. And if you go on YouTube, man, look at Julius Erving's top 10 slam dunks.
Okay.
You got to see this. The one against the Lakers when he cups it. I was
there. I've seen that. You were there?
I was there. The Sixers were getting 2 points at home on a fucking Tuesday night or something just obscure. I was going to Glassboro State at the time. I wasn't really going down there. I was going down there stealing. I was helping a buddy with roof, and I was getting like $12.50 an hour. So I'd go down there 3 days a week and roof and hang out with Kurt DiLorenzo and a bunch of savages. And I'd stay in North Bergen a couple of 3 days. And one night, Kurt said, we got to go to the Sixers game. In those days, if the Sixers scored 125 points, you got a free hamburger.
Really?
At the local, on the way out, you got a coupon. You got your ticket stub. You got a free fucking cheeseburger.
Is the audio worth playing or no?
What's that?
I have the thing.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
Let's see. It's 89-84. Sixers, and they get inside. Oh, yeah, that's nothing. He jumped up, and he went behind the glass. And you were there for that?
I was
there. Where were you sitting?
I was sitting up in the stands. I didn't have good tickets. We scalped tickets the night of.
Yeah.
If I'm lying, I'm dying, people. If I'm lying, I'm fucking dying. I knew in my heart the Sixers were going to win the championship that year. I just knew it. They were just too good.
What year was this?
Moses Malone, 83, was just too good. Moses Malone could take Shaq, take him, and stuff him in the fucking basket. Moses Malone went right from high school right to the fucking pros. Moses Malone is who taught Hakeem Olajuwon how to play the game of basketball. Moses Malone, if you look at his stats, when he was a Houston Rocket,
mm-hmm.
He used to double. He used to score 29 points a game and 20 rebounds per game as a center. He would fuck everybody up. He was dumb as fuck. And it didn't matter. I'm not insulting him. I'm just saying what he was. He was a big country black motherfucker from up there in Tallahassee, Florida, somewhere. And you did not want to mess with that motherfucker. And he had brothers. And where's he from? I don't even know.
He scored 27,000 points over his career. He averaged 20.6. He averaged 12 rebounds. And he had almost 2,000 blocks.
Tremendous.
50% field goal percentage. 77% free throw percentage.
Tremendous for a center.
He was.
They don't even make him like that no more. That's when you had him. You had Jabbar. You had fucking Bob Lanier.
And he was ABA.
ABA. Who did he play for in the
Utah
ABA?
Stars.
The Utah Stars. Who the fuck are these? All these savages were all ABA players.
And then he went to the St. Louis team. And then when they merged, he went to the
Houston Rockets.
Trailblazers first.
What do these average up there in the Trailblazers? Does it say? When he was in Houston was when he was fucking motherfuckers up.
Okay, he was in Houston from 76 to 82.
Yep. And from 82, he went 83, he went over to the fucking Philadelphia 76ers. Tremendous. But listen, if you get a chance tonight, make sure you watch Julius Erving, the doctor, makes a motherfucker. Listen, whenever he'd steal the ball on the fast break.
Yeah.
And he'd go to slam dunk it, Brett Musburger would go, the doctor is making a house call.
Jesus. I'm fucked up.
What's up, baby?
What's happening, Joey?
You know me, dog. Trying to put the pieces together over here with the Flying Jew on a Monday morning. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on? What's this rumor? I heard you were in Black Belt magazine last week.
Yeah. We Black Belt did an article on me a little while back on myself and on my event, Shogun Fights, that I promote. So obviously was flattered because Black Belt's the original martial arts magazine.
Original.
I'm sorry?
Original. That's what we read before Playboy, before we started whacking off. I used to read I used to read Black Belt, get a hard on and shit. Go to look at the catalogs and get the gis and the patches with Goju Karate and make believe I was Chinese, the whole fucking deal.
Well, they don't call you Joey Karate for nothing.
What's up, John Rollo, you bad motherfucker?
Yeah, Joey. So right now, just working on my gyms and preparing for our October Shogun event, you know.
Now, what's the name of the new gym, Combat Sports?
No, we're the school's name, Ground Control.
Ground Control.
Ground Control. We got four of them here in Maryland, and, you know, who knows, maybe it fits someday.
Now, what's Ground Control? Is that a different school in Baltimore?
Yeah. Ground Control is my gym. I came up with the name years ago with a buddy, Sean Alvarez, and most people in this area, if you say Ground Control, they pretty much, know it's John Rollo involved with it.
Okay. What else is going on, little brother? What's happening? Fucking Playboy Mad, right? I tried to get the article and I was stoned. I couldn't find it. And I wanted to talk to you about your next fights. I wanted to talk to you about the Cats. I want to talk to you about the Baltimore fucking Ravens.
The world champion Baltimore.
That's Ravens. Right. I'm sorry. I got my main man here from the New England.
I'm a Pats fan here, so that's hard to hear. But
well, we gave you a gift 2 years ago, but we couldn't do it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing though. You gave the quarterback all that money and let everyone else go. You let Ed Reed go to Houston.
Why? Yeah, well, come on now. Ed Reed is kind of, look, I love Ed Reed, maybe the greatest safety to ever play. But, Ed's been a shadow of himself the last few years. His neck's been shoulder damaged. He hasn't tackled anybody in a couple years. And he just had hip surgery. His hip's jacked up. They don't even know if he's going to be back in time for camp. So, Ed's still going to, make a play here and there, but definitely not the Ed Reed of old. It was time to get out with the old and in with the new. Our defense has actually improved, even with Ray retiring and Ed going away. So I'm excited for the football season.
I'm really excited. I can't believe it's fucking June already. That's it. It's June. They report already.
Oh man, you know how it is. The time flies. The older we get, the more responsibility we get. The faster the time goes.
Damn, John Rollo, dropping knowledge on a motherfucking Monday morning. Did you see what happened yesterday, John? Now, John, who won the match last night with Aoki and the other guy?
You know what? I do not know.
Me neither.
I was Googling it. If I could find it, and I didn't find any results on it. So,
what was the fight you're looking for?
Aoki's bad mamma jamma, and Kron, obviously, is a beast himself, Hicks and Son. So, yeah, that's something I really would like to know who did win.
Yeah, last night, Metamoris, Shinya Aoki.
Yep, that was
against,
the name of the event.
Yeah, because I know they announced Eddie Bravo's fighting our boy again.
Really?
Yeah, they announced it last night at Metamoris.
Nice.
Yeah,
getting it back out. You know, how's his... And Eddie's had, you know, some back issues over time. So, I mean, it's exciting to see Eddie get back. You know,
he's
Eddie's
healthy. I know Shinya was in the studio with them Wednesday and Thursday practicing the rubber guard.
But nice. Exactly. Yeah, it's where, I mean, Eddie helped him with his technique. You know, guys, you know, don't sleep on Eddie Bravo because he hasn't competed in a while. You know, he's a very an accomplished grappler and a creative guy. You know, I would sit around with Eddie and we would just rap about jiu-jitsu for hours, you know, while we were medicating ourselves. So exciting, you know, it's exciting to know that he's coming back, actually.
John Rallo, because of you, I've been going to jiu-jitsu steady twice a week.
How you liking it?
Between me and you, I love it, John Rallo.
It's yeah, a different, I told you
it's
would,
a different
man.
Party.
I knew you would. Once,
it's a different
once it gets
party.
In the blood, it's over.
Yeah, this guy on Mondays, this Marcelo, I like this guy. And he runs a tight, you know, the first half hour is just calisthenics and shit. And then the next half hour is technique. Then you roll. I can't load. Awesome. I can't lie to you, John Rallo. I got 2 minutes of rolling. And I got a tap.
Well,
but I can do it three or four times. Yeah.
2 minutes and then two and a half and then three. So, you know, because of you, actually, the last time we got together, we talked about this. You start in jiu-jitsu, and you actually had got me to try acupuncture. So I'm actually seeing an acupuncture therapist once a week here, and you know, I'm here to say that it's actually had some pretty good results for some of the pain I was having in my back and in my shoulders. So you know, it's I thank you for that.
Now the days that you go, remember, drink a lot of water, right? Even more so
yep.
than you workout days, and don't plan nothing. It's like Good Friday. Don't do nothing. Nothing. Don't even give the wife a stab and nothing. Go home, put a TV on, and listen to a little music, and make sure you go to bed early and get the hours that night. You'll see that if you go to sleep and wake up, interrupt that sleep, it's like, what the fuck did I do? Smoke 55 joints and drink a gallon of booze? Because your body really goes from point A to point B. So, see, we learn from each other no matter what age.
Kron Gracie won. He guillotine choke 7 minutes in.
Oh, shit!
Nice. That's hey, good for Kron, man. You know, obviously his dad, maybe, you know, the greatest jiu-jitsu practitioner of all time. So, you know, it's exciting to see his son, Kron, have success. You know, Hickson really withdrew from the community when Huxon passed away. So, you know, it's kind of exciting to see Kron out there still carrying on his lineage.
Now, maybe you guys can explain it. I watched, there was a post-fight interview with Schaub and Cyborg, and Cyborg was pissed because apparently Schaub just sat there and didn't do anything. Like, can you explain what happened, or did you watch it, or do you know what happened?
As far as Brendan Schaub?
Yeah, like when
was the fight?
Yesterday.
I didn't watch, no.
I don't know.
Yeah, me either.
You watch a old UFC fight?
No.
Maybe it was an old. What event was
it? No, it was on the same card. It was Metamoris 2, and it was. Schaub versus Cyborg, and apparently
I didn't know Brendan had been released.
He hadn't. He didn't be released. He's fighting. He's still in the UFC. But I'll tell you what he said was is he went in knowing that. That Cyborg fucked people up and was like really great. So his goal was to not get submitted, and he just kind of like played around with him, and it just ended in a stalemate. But Cyborg was pissed at the end. He said like he never saw anyone do anything like that. He only goes to fights where people are going to fight, and he was pissed off.
Well, I didn't even know.
In Cyborg's defense, I mean, I know Brendan. I think Brendan's a nice guy. Excuse me. Cyborg is obviously one of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world. It's hard to submit a person who doesn't want to engage you. You know, Brendan's a great athlete, you know, former professional football player, 250-pound kid, obviously has grappling knowledge. And, you know, I think it's not impossible to get through a match when you don't take any chances, when you're not trying to win the match. So if that's exactly what went down, you know, I guess if his goal was not to be submitted, that's cool. But, you know, the fans want to see you go after him. Brendan really had nothing to lose. So why not go out there, and even if he passes his guard, threatens him a couple times, that almost says more than kind of sitting in a guard and just locking it down and hoping the time runs out.
Yeah, that's what Cyborg said he did. So I didn't know if you guys watched the rest of the card or not. But yeah, that was crazy.
Nah, man, I would love to see this thing. It was an awesome card, and the Aoki and Kron match was one that I definitely wanted to check out.
How long have you been involved with jiu-jitsu now, John Rallo?
Since 97,
and you're
98.
And you're an original?
98 was the first time I competed, and I met Henzo in 99, and I've been with him ever since.
And you used to go up to New York and train?
Yeah, man, 3 days a week from Baltimore. You know, it's basically a three-hour ride, so Monday, Wednesday, and Saturdays, I would go to New York. I would either go to Manhattan to train Henzo's. Sean Alvarez was in Westchester, and Ricardo Almeida's in Jersey. So I would go to New York on Monday and Wednesdays, and in the beginning, Saturdays, too. And then as, you know, my career went on and I started to meet more of the guys, you know, I would go to Henzo's a couple days, and then Saturdays I would hit Ricardo since it was about a half hour closer for me. You know, my school was small back then, so, you know, we only had class ourselves on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So it allowed me to you know, to get up there and get my education. You know, that's my college degree, my black belt from Henzo. So, and, you know, obviously, you know, put a lot of road work in and a lot of time in to, you know, but I've got all my promotions from Henzo, and something that I'm super proud of because, you know, people know that Henzo doesn't just hand belts out. So, you know, the fact that he thought enough of me to give me a black belt is obviously a great honor.
Damn. Fucking you and another crazy motherfucker, Matt Serra. Told me he used to, when he first got into jiu-jitsu, Matt Serra would drive from Long Island to Red Bank, New Jersey.
Yep.
To learn jiu-jitsu. I go down the fucking corner, and I feel like
you guys got a lot to talk about because his family was into traditional martial arts, a lot of karate.
Right. No, he told me about that. Yeah, he was saying. But he said that when he first got into jiu-jitsu, he would have to go from whatever he lives in Long Island all the way to Jersey, South Jersey, on Sundays. Yep. It was once a week. That's right. It was once a fucking week. That's amazing.
Yep. When I first met Henzo, he was renting from a karate school. So he was like on West 25th, I believe. And, you know, it was a straight up karate school. You walked in, there's all nunchucks, throwing stars, all that stuff. And he would rent mat space from them. So, and honestly, Matt, he was like one of the first people I met when I was going there. I actually got to wrestle Dan Mergliata. He used to run an amateur MMA show, and he ran grappling tournaments.
Wow.
Excuse me. And my first big tournament win was called the East Coast Grapplers Cup, and that was Dan's tournament. And I was a white belt. I actually beat a purple from Henzo's in the heavyweight division, and I beat one in the absolute division. So at that point, he had asked me if I was interested in coming to train, you know, with them. And I didn't know Henzo well then. I kind of thought, man, I'm going to come up here. They're going to have 50 guys in a line waiting for me until they get me. So kind of blew him off. And then 2 weeks later, I went to the Grappler's Quest. I wound up winning that. I beat their big rival was a team called Taikai. They were Carlson School. And I submitted their guy in the finals. And Henzo was there, and he was like, you're that thing that pays the streets. Him and Ricardo sat and watched my match, and Ricardo said, yeah, steamroller. So Henzo goes, you are a steamroller. After that match, he gave me his home phone number, his cell phone number, offered me to come up to train. At the time, my instructor was a Hicks and Gracie affiliate. I had met him at a tournament that I jumped in, didn't have any experience. He was the ref. I wound up winning the thing just off my wrestling, and he asked me where I trained, didn't train anywhere, so hooked up with him, you know, within 6 months, hooked up with Henzo, convinced my instructor to talk to Hickson and see if we could switch affiliations because Henzo was on the East Coast and Hickson was in L.A. And, you know, Hickson gave us the blessing to switch over to Henzo and, you know, been with Henzo, you know, since like 99.
And you still go up there and roll from time to time or you're busy?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll go up and see him. You know, Henzo, besides jiu-jitsu, man, he's been a great mentor to me and he's a friend, and when I saw you the last time in New Jersey, you know, I came to see you and Joe perform and then went to the Son and John Jones matchup in New Jersey, and, you know, I stayed at Henzo's house, you know, Friday and Saturday night. So, you know, he's become a great friend as well as a mentor, and now I'm happy to have a dude like that in my life. You know, he's super positive, very, very smart guy. You know, he brings the level and the energy in the room up when he comes into it. So, you know, I'm thankful to have him around and to be able to call him if I want to bounce something off of him.
You're a fucking sad. Now tell me about these events you've been doing, because we've been friends for a long time, and I remember you telling me in the beginning, and they got bigger and bigger, and you sold it out. Now look at you. You're fucking Shogun of Harlem.
Yeah, we're doing, you know, this is my eighth one. October will be the ninth. I personally think we're the biggest regional show around. You know, we do anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 people at our events, and I don't have, you know, the name brand people like Chuck Liddell, like, you know, George St. Pierre fighting. So the fact that we can bring in, you know, 5,000 people to the First Mariner Arena, which is the big venue here, like that's where Jay-Z would play, it's where Motley Crue would play, you know, if it's a big concert coming here, that's where they go. You know, it's been an amazing ride for us. We've developed some talent. You know, guys like Dustin Pegg have made it into the UFC on the Ultimate Fighter show. Zach Davis, another kid, went from our show to the Ultimate Fighter. Cody Donovan, he's currently fighting in the UFC. I think he's won his first two fights. He's fought for us. So, you know, I'm not delusional. I'm not a guy here trying to compete with the UFC. I'm a guy here hoping to give guys in our region the proper exposure and the proper opportunities to be able to get some experience fighting in front of a large crowd. And maybe one day, you know, a guy like we have, you know, like Frankie Edgar, you know, maybe we'll have a guy from this region who's a world champion, and I'll be able to say fights on Shogun. You know, but we've had like 5-6 guys on to the UFC. We've probably had a good 10 or 15 guys who have fought in Bellator. My crowds are actually bigger than Bellator's crowds, but I just don't do the frequency of events that they do because I don't have Viacom backing me. So, you know, any TV people out there that you know, want to get involved, let me know. But, again, you know, the UFC is great. You know, Mark Ratner came down and testified for me when we were getting mixed martial arts legal here. I actually had to lobby and go before the Senate and the House of Delegates and speak here in the state capitol at Annapolis when we were getting the law passed. Michael Mersch also came down, who's the attorney for the UFC. Both of these guys were like, couldn't have been more helpful, were very supportive, actually thanked me because they were like, man, if everybody had, we don't even have to be here. You know, you had everything, all the legwork done already. So, you know, I used to call them and ask for dates, you know, that way I would try to avoid UFCs as well. But now they do so many shows, you know, and I have to take what's available to me at the arena. So sometimes, you know, the shows overlap. But I do my best not to, because I'm here to promote the sport, not to try and compete, you know, with the you know, the NFL of mixed martial arts.
You're a bad motherfucker, John Rollo. John Rollo.
I'm trying, my man. I'm trying.
What are you weighing at now?
Oh, I'm about 280, 285.
Are you still a rock of fucking Gibraltar?
Yeah, you know, I do what I can. So, yeah, I try to stay in shape, still roll with the guys.
Now, besides,
obviously, don't have time to train like a fighter. But hell, I'm a 44-year-old man now, and trying to make my money with my brain instead of getting hit in the face.
The other thing about you is you got a great tattoo in the back of, you know, Jesus choking out the devil and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the best thing about you is that we share a common interest, is our love for the fucking cats.
Oh, yeah, bro. You know, real men love cats.
Oh, my God. You know, the other day I got pissed.
You know, De Niro, I always use this line, but De Niro in Meet the Parents, when he was riding with Ben Stiller, he told, you know, he says, everybody, dogs are whores. You got to earn a cat's respect. So, you know, a dog will let anybody pet him, but a cat, you know, he's going to be a little leery just to come up and let you get involved. He's going to have to see you're all right before he accepts you into the circle.
So there's a cat in the house that keeps pissing on my fucking fan when I turn it off. And I think he doesn't like when I turn the fan on in the room because he has to leave. I can't figure out who it was. So it was between Superbad and Harry. So the other day, I get in my office. I'm having the worst day of my fucking life. And there's cat pee on the fucking fan. This time, they pissed on the fan while it was on. So it splattered against the fucking wall. So basically, I called my wife and I go, when you get home, one of the cats are going to be dead. She goes, what happened? I go, I'm just killing one of these motherfuckers today. So I sat there with the baby steaming until she walked in. I gave her the baby. I picked Superbad up. I brought him in there. I made him sniff the pee and I spanked him twice. Then I picked up Harry. I did the same fucking thing. Why, I don't know.
Yeah, they say they don't know what, at that point, they don't know what's up.
They don't know what's up. I'll tell you what.
We both have a passion for the cats, and the mayor here actually asked me to do a anti-animal violence campaign a few years back, and it's still going on, you know, where they say only a punk would hurt a cat or a dog, you know, because animal abuse actually went up after the Michael Vick ordeal because young kids in the city saw him doing what he was doing to pit bulls, and they all thought, you know, well, it must be cool if this big athlete's doing this stuff.
Yeah, really?
So, yeah, man, they That's had a crazy. Campaign here in Maryland, and Baltimore, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is the first place where they can actually put you in jail. Like, they made a straight-up statute here about animal abuse, and you can get jail time for it. So, you know, the mayor is very, you know, she's real pro-animal. The first three people she asked were myself, Adam Jones, who plays for the Orioles, and Jarrett Johnston, who at the time was with the Ravens. And, you know, it's been a great experience for me. It led me to do work with an adoption service here called Barks. They're a no-kill rescue here in Baltimore. And, you know, it's been real fulfilling. Like, as many people go around, recognize me from the mixed martial arts stuff in Baltimore, as recognize me from the billboards and the bus stop posters they had of me holding my cat, Doobie. And, you know, basically, you know, with that slogan, you know, only a punk would hurt a cat or a dog, and the poster got a huge response because, you know, I'm a 285-pound, you know, 6'2", tatted up, you know, kind of, Jerry can tell you I'm not a small guy, so to see me in a tank top holding my little tuxedo cat, you know, it got a big response because people would expect you just to hold the dog, so, you know, it led to me doing the show Must Love Cats and adopting
I watched you down there, yeah.
And a pit here. Yeah, so, it was all pretty cool, and, you know, any time you can help, you know, an animal, it's always my opinion, Joe, and people that don't know, the dude I'm talking to has the biggest heart in the world. He you know, he's the nicest person you'll ever meet, and when you bring a dog or a cat into your house, that animal is now a part of your family. You know, they didn't ask you to bring them there, so once you bring them in, it's your responsibility to take care of them. You know, and if you're a piece of shit who's beating on your dog or beating on your cat, give that cat to somebody who will love it, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not fair to the animal, and it's not a good example to set for the people that are around you.
It's amazing how, like I was saying, I felt guilty the rest of the week. Even today, I felt super, on the way out, I seen super bad, and I kissed him, and I hugged him, and I could tell he genuinely loves me. My wife came home the other day, and she goes to me, "Hey, how attached are you to Gray?" You know, Gray's the last one we brought in. She's a beautiful tuxedo. She's black and white. When we brought her in, she was about 7. John Rollo, she sleeps with me every night, and as soon as I turn over in bed, she's as happy as can be that I'm awake. She jumps on me.
Nice.
She meows until she's fucking dizzy when I wake up. Plus, her tail gets swollen like she's ready to fight, and I have to
That's
hug
crazy.
Her and calm her down. I really do. So I looked at my wife, and I go, "Listen, I'm not that attached to fucking Gray. But let me tell you a fucking story. When I wake up in the morning, Gray's right there. Like, if Gray was a woman, she'd suck my dick. That's how happy Gray is when I wake up in the morning. Sometimes she falls asleep on a chair, and she leaps on the bed for me to hug her in the morning when I wake up. How the fuck are you going to ask me to give up fucking Gray?
Right.
And she goes,
right.
I get
it. I'm with you, bro. I'm with you.
She goes, I get it. I get it. I go, I got cats I raise as fucking kittens, and then I don't jump on the fucking bed. And, you know, we took Gray from outside. She got attacked by an animal, and the landlord said I can't keep her in the house because the dogs are attacking her at night. How can you give up my little neighborhood cat? We washed her up, and she's fucking beautiful now.
Yeah,
she's beautiful. Sometimes I have the baby in the left arm, and she'll jump and get on my right arm. That's how fucking great and sweet she is. So,
yeah, I'm still amazed at that you have the baby. And not that I'm surprised she'll be a good father, but I know
you still
back
have the
in
baby.
The day, you weren't sure, you know, if you were going to have one or not. And
oh, my God.
You know, you and your wife, God bless her. You know, to be able to put up with your crazy ass for all these years. But, you know, you guys are great people. You know, I'm glad to see that you were able to have the baby. You know, there's plenty of people out there who have kids that really don't deserve them. So, you know, I'm glad to see you guys. You know, I know how you were with your animals, and it's only going to be even more so, you know, with your baby. So, you know, congratulations.
So, Rollo, when is the next event?
Next one's October 26th.
And you have the card ready yet, or still card developing?
Some of that. The big fight on there is probably going to be, we have a guy, John Murphy. They used to call him Man of Faith. He fought on Bully Beatdown like 3 times, fought on Elite XC. You know, he's a heavyweight fighter. And there's another kid in Jersey that's asking to fight him. And there's a kid in Delaware, Joe Stripling, who they each fought each other in a Muay Thai match back in the day. And he wants another crack at him in a mixed martial arts match. So could be Joe Stripling, too. But you know, everybody loves a freak show. They like to see the heavyweights. John's a big, good-looking, marketable guy. He's got skills. You know, fought at some of the bigger shows. And, you know, we're excited to have him back on in our cage. And, you know, we've always had guests come down. You know, Cowboy's been here. Mike Brown, Leonard Garcia. You know, Henzo's been here a few times. Matt Serra's been down. Anthony Johnson, you know, had been down for the last one. And speaking of Matt, you know, I mean, I talked to him as well, but, you know, we wish him good health. You know, Matt had some blood clot issues. The week of Shogun, he wasn't able to come down here. And if people saw, he actually announced his retirement from mixed martial arts due to the, you know, the health problems that he was having. He's doing well now. And it's like I told Matt, you know, when he called me, and he was so apologetic because we're friends. You know, it's not like I'm paying this man to come. He comes down because he's a buddy of mine. And, you know, he's got a wife and 3 kids. So it's like I told him, it's more important for you to be ready to take care of your family, you know, than to come down here. You know, we'll get you down here another time. So, you know, well wishes out there to Matt and Sarah.
So, John Rollo, I won't be back in Baltimore till fucking January or till February to do some comedy. So, I don't know when I'm going to see you again, but I'm happy you called up today. I'm happy I got a hold of you
and
put this together. I'm very proud of you being in Black Belt, and I'm going to let the motherfuckers in Baltimore know John Rollo's there. What's the name of the schools now?
Yeah, the schools, Ground Control.
Ground Control.
We've got 4 locations. Yeah, one in Owings Mills, one in Columbia, Maryland, one in Bel Air, and one in Baltimore. So, 4 gyms out there, Henzo Gracie, Jiu-Jitsu, and Mixed Martial Arts. And again, Joey, you know, glad that I've gotten to know you over these years. I'm flattered that you would have me on. And please give my love to, you know, Joe and Ari and Eddie and the crew. Don't get to see you guys as much as I would like to, but always a pleasure when I do.
I have Ari give you a call. He's in your neck of the woods.
So yeah, I can come down and see. You know, my door's always open. When you're coming, let me know, bro. I got you.
Yeah, he lives in Brooklyn now for the summer.
Nice.
So I'll give him a call today and tell him to come down.
I heard he was moving to New York, so.
Yeah, so.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, so he's up there. How's the Greek doing?
He's an East Coast guy anyway. Is he from, like, D.C. area?
Yeah, he's right from your area there, so.
Yep.
And I'll be in D.C. I'll be in D.C. in August at the Improv.
Joey, hit me up, man.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
It's only a 45-minute ride from here.
Okay, done. I love you, John Rollo. Thank you for calling up today,
my
man.
Thanks,
good luck. Much love always.
All right, my man. Love you, too.
Bye-bye. What's up, cocklicker? How you doing?
I'm doing good.
You're not high? You're
yes,
not crying?
I am.
You want a little piece?
No.
Let's flip that last little piece.
No.
You
eat it and I'll talk about Hulu Plus for a second.
You. All right, talk.
No, I've been looking on, and they have the Cosby Show on there. So just again.
The old school Cosby Show. What about the stand-up specials?
No, they don't have stand-up. Okay. But no, actually, they do have the Comedy Central half hours. But so brought to you by Hulu Plus. It's easy. Go to HuluPlus.com/Joey, lowercase. You know that by now. Or you could go and go to Joey's website, JoeyCocoDiaz.net. Get the shirts. Also go to Hulu. Go to On It. And I literally looked right now. They have The Cosby Show. They have I Love Lucy, which I fucking love.
I love I Love Lucy.
And they have The Ultimate Fighter. They have everything you could want.
Hulu has The Ultimate Fighter.
They have, I'm trying to look and see what season they have. I'm looking at it right now, yep.
Yeah,
it's the last season.
Yep, the last season. Coming. You're right. Yep, yep. So that's what I'm talking. Listen, I'm giving you 2 weeks for free. Hulu Plus is being so sweet. They're giving you 2 weeks for free. And if you join up after that, it's $7.99 a month. I looked the other day and I knew The Ultimate Fighter was up there, but I got high and I forgot. So I'm sorry. My apologies to you people. People, please, take advantage of this opportunity. You're not going to get this again. 2 free weeks. Go to HuluPlus.com or go to JoeyDiaz.net. Go to my webpage, go to Hulu Press, Joey, lowercase.
Yep.
Do it now. Why fuck around?
And just to thank you guys, we get updates every week on how we're doing it. And the people who have done it so far really, I mean, Joey and I get up at 5 in the morning, and it means a lot that you guys have been doing
it.
You do it.
You know how to fuck. We all listen, let me tell you something, people. I would not talk to you guys about anything that I wouldn't use myself. A friend of the show just sent us jackets with a wallet holder and an iPod holder
and a cell phone.
We'll talk about that. My man, what's his name over here with the fucking beautiful t-shirts, he sent us. Tafoya. You know how long I've known Tafoya? Since I started Beating the Beast. He's got a beautiful new label. What's the label? Read him down to him, this kid.
It's called Nine Muse.
And what's the website? Is there a website to Nine
Muse? Yeah, it's nine, the number nine, MuseCo, M-U-S-E,
capital.
C-O, .com. The capital shouldn't matter.
Listen, people hit me up all the time, this, that, take money. I do it out of fucking love, or if it's something good.
Bam.
Hulu Plus is something good. Onnit is getting fucking stronger and stronger on a daily basis. Did you guys know that you got the ultimate grocery guide now with Mike Dolce on fucking...
Dolce's with them now?
Yeah,
that's
Dolce's
awesome.
Been with them. So I'm trying to get him to do the podcast. They got the fucking cordyceps mushrooms and that shroom tech. And I'll tell you what's really good. I'm hearing really good things about that T-plus testosterone that Onnit's got. Go to fucking Onnit. Cut this shit. We're giving you Hulu Plus. Onnit. Go to Onnit. Press church in the box. Get 10% off, 20% off. Get emails. All that fucking fun shit. Who the fuck you think you're dealing with? It's Monday morning, people. Get up. Wash. It's a beautiful fucking day to be alive. What are we talking about, Lee? Talking about Julius Erving. We talking about John Rollo. What else are we talking about today? You don't even
know. I'm so fucked up. No. That's what we were talking about. But, no, and it's crazy how things change. Because, as people know, the girl thing happened a couple weeks ago. But I've been talking to this other one. And it's amazing when you have like, the positive... Like, I had the positive change where I actually told the girl I liked her. And it didn't work out. But now I'm talking to another one. And it's, now it's all positive. And it's weird how stuff can change so quickly. So it's for people who are scared of doing things, just one little change really makes a difference.
You know, you got to be honest with yourself. You know, I was thinking about, I'm writing this fucking book, and I finished my stepfather's thing, and I was thinking about that story I told the other night, like about when I found my mother and, you know, the acid and all that shit. And I thought, and now I'm writing the days after that, like how I felt for a year. Like it's how I feel with my daughter now. When I look at my daughter when we were in Chipotle yesterday, it feels like a fucking dream. It feels like I'm gonna wake up and go, Terry, you're not gonna believe the dream I had. I had a 5-month-old fucking baby. You know, sometimes life feels like a dream, and it's good or bad. You know, I'm talking to my friend that his wife died. His wife died about a month ago, and I've been talking to him at least twice a week because I know what he's going through. And it's like when somebody passes away that's close to you, and you walk in that bathroom. And they're not in that bathroom no more. The stuff's not in that bathroom no more. And you really want to smell that person one more time. And, you know, I'm listening to his words. I just call him to hear him vent. There's nothing I could say to this fucking guy. I call him to hear him vent. Because, I couldn't vent anybody. Because at that age, I thought it was too tough. I had to show people that I couldn't vent. That I could handle this. But me inside, I was falling apart. On the outside, I was handling it, you know? But it's so weird how I listen to this grown man talk about all these things, how he misses, and it's like a dream for him. So sometimes somebody passes in your life, and it's like a fucking dream that they pass. You're saying, when am I going to wake up from this dream? This person, it's like this kid that I thought about this morning. You know, everybody's special that you come in contact in this life with. Fucking we're all special. You don't know one of us is going to leave. I might go home right now, and a drunk guy's out from Sunday night. And hit my fucking car. And you and me were giggling on the way out, or we were having an argument on the way out about eat the fucking edible, Lee.
I ate the edible.
And eat it again. There's one piece left.
There's no more pieces
there's
left.
There's one more piece.
You wouldn't let me leave the piece.
Look right here.
But there's one crumb. No, that's a huge piece that you didn't cut
up
for yourself.
This right here. Look.
Go for it.
Yeah. It's Monday.
You're fucking crazy.
That's what we have. You know, people come and go in your life. And you never know. Like, I miss this kid right now. I really miss him. He was that much of my life. My life will never be the change. My life will never be the same again without Jimmy Burke. But you move on, you know? You move on, you grab your balls, and you go, fuck it. This is the fate I fucking decided. Let me give out some shout-outs to some soldiers here. Oh, boy. I can't read this. Paris Vicious 696, Ari Gold, Andy Rue, Kevin Honeycutt, Death Squad all over, whether it's Harlem, Grand Rapids, Illinois, Death Squad, Iowa. I love all you crazy motherfuckers. Bill Hoyler, Jambi, Aaron Barton, Josh and McKinsky, and Kevin Gitman. I love you motherfuckers. And that's the way we do it. What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? You want to sit here and stare at me and cry? It's Monday. Grab your dick. Realize why God put you on this motherfucking planet. And do something good. Call Votech. You know what? I got a call today. L.A. Valley College.
Why?
Because I'm going to take some history courses.
No, you're not.
I'm sick and tired of being a fucking idiot.
Why did you
history? Sick and fucking tired of being a fucking idiot.
Out of everything you could take.
Sick and fucking tired of being... I'm going to take a grammar class. Sick and tired of being a fucking idiot. How am I going to raise a daughter with it and I don't know nothing?
Don't take grammar. That would ruin the whole...
Like, no, man. You gotta be... I'm sick and tired of being a fucking moron. You know what's crazy? I was a history major, man. How the fuck can I forget this shit, man? You're not supposed to forget this shit.
Wait,
I'm a history major.
I thought you were an economics major.
No, before I was an econ major, I was a history major. I wanted to be a stupid fucking attorney. I became an econ major. I switched because I had to, because I thought I was going to be an economist. I didn't know.
You're going to go to class and like do homework? And
once a week, yeah. I got to take a class on world history. I got to start from fucking scratch, Lee. When you're an idiot, you're a fucking idiot. And that's it. When you're an idiot, you're an idiot. I'm going to take world history.
What class are you going to take?
I'm going to take world history and U.S. political systems.
Are you going to raise your hand and answer questions?
Fuck yeah.
Really?
Fuck yeah. I put my pants on like everybody else. My $89 of credit is just as much as your $89. I'm going to take every fucking opportunity of it. I'm sick and tired of remembering how can you remember mugging a hooker and lighting a wig on fire, but you can't remember the fucking third president of the United States? That's fucking embarrassing. I'm a fucking American. And if you're an American and you don't know these things, fuck you too. Fuck you.
So why are you taking world history? Take American history.
I'm taking American history and world history because I want to go over the wars again and how this shit started and the whole fucking thing. I'm that stupid. I don't know how World War I started. I'm a fucking shame to say that, people. But if I couldn't admit it to you, I can't admit it to nobody. I'm ashamed around my fucking wife. My wife knows everything. She'll watch CNN and all those political reports. I don't know why a Democrat's a Democrat or fucking a senator's a senator. You know, this was my life at one time. This was when you come from this country, this is what you want to know. You don't give a fuck about anything else. You want to know everything you can about the political systems and the governments and the city governments and how it breaks down. That's the interesting shit about my life that I fucking love. And now I don't know nothing. I don't know what number President McKinley is. I don't know if I know Lincoln, I know Kennedy, and I know Nixon. Bush.
What else do you need to know?
You need to know, man.
My brain's like, I don't know if it's the edible or...
You need to fucking know about the history. You need to know. How can you be a parent and you don't know about fucking English? Where a comma goes? When you're supposed to use your instead of you are? You know, I forget where the fucking comma goes. How stupid can you fucking be? You're 24, you just graduated college, you still remember. I don't fucking know. Have you seen my blogs when I first started writing?
Yeah.
How somebody didn't stop me and put a bullet in my fucking head. By the way, Omar, where the fuck you at, cocksucker? You better call me back, don't make me hunt you down. I got a book we gotta publish in fucking 3 or 4 months here. But anyway, this book is great for me.
What are you gonna take next? Are you gonna take like an English, like a language class? Like learn French or something? Or?
Well, I'm gonna try to take two classes in the fall. I'm gonna see what the scheduling is. And I'm going to keep going until my daughter's 5 or 6.
Really?
How can I set an example? How can I set an example? You got to be excited about this shit. I have so many opportunities. I work on the weekends.
Yeah.
I have all these opportunities to spend time with my daughter. Well, how can I not be, you know? I got to do this, Lee. This
is like, do they let you smoke joints during class?
No, they don't let you smoke joints, but I'll eat an edible, you fucking cocksucker.
Will you really?
Why don't you call Valley College and rat me out, you fucking crime stopper? You fucking Sammy the Bull.
I'd love to be in that. I'd love to be in that class.
This is the country we live in, that when you want to better yourself, people laugh at you. This is happens every day in society, at every American table. A kid comes home, tells his father he wants to play the piano. The father's like, what, do you want to suck dick? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm not making funny. I just...
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. This is what I'm talking about.
As he eats another piece of the edible.
Look, you hurt my feelings.
No, it's great. I'm just... I would, if people had said, what is Joey Diaz going to tell you at 7 a.m., and gave me 1,000 options. One of them would never have been him going back to college.
I'm like Bonnie Dangerfield. I'm back to school, bitch.
That's awesome. I do you think the homework's gonna last? I can't see you doing homework.
If you pay attention in class, homework is very easy. If you pay attention and make a couple notes during class, and you stay on your thing,
I think it's changed since you went to school.
Well, to be honest with you, I think I'm gonna take one class just to get my feet.
It's gone down.
No, well, I was thinking about taking something in the summer. I'm only going out of town for 3 or 4 weeks in the summer.
Okay.
So I was thinking of that's starting awesome. About it. I'm a fucking idiot, bro.
I kind
of
want to learn
how
Spanish.
Long can you be a fucking idiot for? Not you. How long? How long can you walk around knowing that you're a fucking idiot? How long do you walk around knowing you can't get into a conversation about politics because you're embarrassed? How long do you walk around and you can't use an analogy about a president, or you don't know about the 8th president?
When does this happen? Like,
this has been happening. Like, this has been fucking happening.
But people who,
and like, now that I have a child, I have to set an example. Now that I have you, you're like a son. You're 24. You're half retarded yourself.
Yeah, but
I gotta know this shit. I'm 26 years your elder.
People who go to, yeah, but people who go to college wish they could like talk about stuff like you. Like, no one is,
fucking talk. When everybody wants to talk about eating ass. And
yes.
Sucking
when
a
has
straw.
Anyone ever? When have no. you ever been anywhere? When have you no. been at a comedy club and someone's like, "Hey, do you think this is like Garfield, the 8th president, or do you think this is like the 6th president?" Like,
doesn't matter. Just the fact that I don't know it. Just the fact that you don't know it. Just the fucking facts that I can't join wow. a conversation about a war. I can't join a conversation about a fucking something that's going on in Iran or Iraq. You know, right now I don't even know where they're fighting. I'm so fucking confused.
No one in this country knows where they're fighting.
I don't even know where they're fighting anymore. I know it's not Iran because that's where Maj Gibrani is from. So it's Iraq.
Okay, well, yeah, they, I think they pulled out of
they
Iraq.
They pulled out of Iraq. These are things I should be on top of as an American, even if I don't discuss them. Just because I'm not a fucking smarmy guy and I don't have a scarf on, I don't smoke a cigarette with a fucking holder, doesn't mean you're not supposed to know this, people. You know when you're lacking. You know when you watch Jeopardy and you don't get one of the answers correct. Yeah, you're a dumb fuck. You know when the last time I got an answer correct on Jeopardy?
When?
Exactly. That's my point. Every once in a while I got like a movie ride or a music something right, but I don't know nothing about what they're talking about. Like what river rests on fucking Gibraltar or what river rests on the Lake Michigan. You know, nothing. Nothing. Well, you can't have a river. A river. That's what I'm talking about, people.
Going through Lake Michigan.
Why do you fucking, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just sick and tired. And it's the same right now. Well, you know if you're walking around, if you're a fucking idiot. If you're sitting there walking around listening to Cheap Trick, and you're getting on a train, you know if you're a fucking idiot. If you look at the paper, and you're like, what are they talking about? And that's what I feel like half the time.
And
I try to read. I try to read New York Times. They always said that reading the New York Times for 4 years will give you more of an education than going to college for 4 years.
Yeah,
this is what they say. You know what I'm saying? But you ever try to read the New York fucking Times sometimes?
No.
Oh.
It's boring.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I could, like... If you were going to tell me you're going to school, I thought you'd tell me, I'm going to watch Jeopardy Monday through Friday, I'm going to read the news. Like, I would never, like, it's not, it's like, it's an inspiring thing. I'm not making fun. I couldn't just, believe you're
you
going to do it.
You can't walk around being a fucking moron all your life. After a while, eventually you got to raise your hand and go, you know what? I've accepted that I'm a fucking moron, and I got to do something about it. You know, community college ain't going to help me, because they don't have, I just want to know basic knowledge again. It's very sad that the other day, my short-term memory's going. You know, we all have a good time. Joey's eating edibles. My fucking short-term memory's going.
So is mine.
It's going, people. There's times I get home and I can't remember what I ate for lunch to put in my Weight Watcher guide. You know, I write my points every day. I can't fucking remember. So, and then when they talk about politics, I got to ask my wife like a stupid question. You know how hard it is to ask your wife or you let your wife know you're really a fucking moron? Do you know how hard that is? Like, you could con people.
I would never think that would bother you.
Oh, it bothers me that she fucking knows a lot of the shit that I knew used to fucking know and forgot. She's not smarter than me. I just forgot that shit. That's what I'm trying to say.
Have you thought about calling Colorado and seeing what classes you need to like actually like finish a degree? Like, could do that? That could be cool.
It's embarrassing. They don't want to hear from me.
Yeah, no one who works there knows you. Like, I mean, no one who works there was there and was like your old professor who was like, you could have been something like that. You should do that. If you're going to take classes, I'm like, dude, like, why waste your money? You should call them and see what course
you
need.
Nah, because I know what I need. I know what I need, basically. I know what I need. I don't need to take an econ class. I don't need to take a philosophy class on Socrates. I did watch Clash of the Titans the other day, the original. That's a badass motherfucking
movie. The new one's garbage.
Yeah, the new one's fucking garbage. You watch that fucking old one with Medusa and shit. Damn, that's a good fuck. And something else, you people always like when I give you great movie reviews. Before I go, I gotta give you a great fucking review. Last week, I'm sitting there with the baby, and Juana comes at 10. And it's 10 to fucking 10, and I see Stripes is coming up.
Oh.
Okay. And,
I love Stripes.
I started watching it with my daughter, and I watched the first fucking 10 minutes when he throws a lady out of the cab.
Yeah.
Bill Murray. And then when they show Harold fucking Ramis teaching immigrants English, right? But then they show him fucking going to the army thing at the bus station.
Yeah.
And when John Candy walks in, it was, and he asked him what was the movie on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's got the scarf on and the fucking velour jacket and the fucking sunglasses. I had to turn it off, and I started crying because I knew the brilliance that was coming. But I taped it. And that night I went to Yum Yum Donuts, and me and my wife watched the first hour because we liked the part that he goes to Germany.
Yeah.
John Candy. Look, a few motherfuckers that went to see Hangover 3 and think Bradley Cooper and the guy with the beard are hilarious. Listen, just take a knife and stick it in your fucking throat like a magician. Hopefully, he'll slice the back of your fucking Adam's apple, you fucking moron. Put on Stripes and see what real comedy brilliance is.
It's a great movie.
See when John Candy's telling the fucking guy that he joined the army because he wanted to lose weight. Because if he goes to a fat camp, it's 400. And I realized I was broke. So I said, what the hell? Let me join the army, lose a couple pounds. You know, that whole story, that whole monologue, watch what brilliance is. Watch what real comedy brilliance is. You people that think all these people are funny, listen, nothing. John Candy was fucking brilliant. Harold Ramis was so fucking good, this movie. Harold Ramis was like the Flying Jew. Because Harold Ramis is really a writer. He wrote Stripes, he wrote Ghostbusters. He was so fucking good in Stripes. Bill Murray was fucking brilliant in Stripes. So next time you guys want to watch brilliance, oh my God, Hangover 1, the Chinese guy takes his dick out. Do yourself a fucking favor. Stick a chopstick in your fucking ear. Hopefully it'll go through your brain. But before you do that, watch Stripes and see what real comedy brilliance is. You understand me?
He directed Groundhog Day.
Who?
Harold Ramis.
Yes, he fucking did.
And they analyzed this in that movie.
Yeah, I was there with him. I was there. That's the biggest lesson I got.
And Caddyshack.
Listen, dog. And Vacation. Listen, dog. They cannot talk to me. I talked to Harold Ramis. He told me the fucking recipe. Even though I analyzed that as an Academy Award winner, even though I had a scene, I spent 2 fucking days asking that fucking little moron questions. He talked to me more about balls. That little fucking Jew showed me more about balls and fucking having comedy than I learned in 10 years. When I came back from doing that movie, so what? Nothing happened. You know what happened, though? I worked with one of the greatest comedy minds of all time, period. And he gave me balls. And he told me to stick this motherfucker out. That he was part of the original Saturday Night Live cast, but they didn't like him on Saturday Night Live, so they didn't hire him. Think of what it's like when they hire all 5 of your friends and you don't get the fucking job, what you feel like. That motherfucker turned around and wrote Stripes, Ghostbusters, Vacation. He wrote like 20 fucking movies. So that's when you show, that's how you show people that you're a bad motherfucker. You don't threaten them. You don't call them stupid. You say a prayer for them for not hiring you because what you're about to do is something fucking great. And that's what he told me. Just be the funniest motherfucker you can. Fuck Montreal and fuck these agents. They don't know nothing. They don't know nothing. They're like a fucking lottery ticket winner. That's all they are. You keep writing, keep doing your fucking thing and believe in yourself. Whether you're a plumber, a fucking lawyer, a fucking engineer, you're just sitting there IT'ing on a computer, you got a dream, go for it. Don't let fucking nobody deter you. That's what they try to do to Harold Ramis. That's why it rubs off on me and it's going to rub off on you. It's fucking Monday. Go out there, stab somebody in the fucking neck. Be a man. What's up, cocksucker? Tell me about Hulu. Tell me about Onnit. Onnit's got some shit cracking. Go over there, see what Dolce's doing. Get the mushroom blend of the shroom tech.
Sport and immune.
Sport and immune, not support.
I said immune sport.
I said support. I'm sorry.
You fucking ate edibles.
Don't blame it on the edibles.
What's a plant major? Like
geologist, not, botanist.
You should take botany classes.
Yeah, right. Good.
Why?
You know what I should do?
What?
Does that mean? Become a dual major, a botanist and an underwater biologist. Why don't I do that?
No.
What do you think?
Then he could grow weed underwater. Oh, shit.
You know, I love you, cocksuckers.
Underwater weed, Joe.
Listen to me.
2015.
Listen to me, you bad motherfuckers. Salt Lake City, you bad motherfuckers. Moab and all the cities around you. I'll be there Friday night, but the second show already sold out.
Bam.
And the first...
I'm your hype guy.
And the first show's got a few tickets left. Jump on those. The following week, I'm with you badass motherfucking rednecks down in Lexington, Kentucky. Paducah. Y'all better see you motherfuckers at the show. I know it's 3 hours away. I ain't fucking around. Lexington, all you, I'm there. I'm there with you on the campus. I'll be with your fucking UKs. So come on down, cocksucker. The week after that, I'm in San Jose. My main man, Lee, boom, boom, Sayat.
What?
Go to joeydiaz.net. Go to fucking Hulu. Pressing Joey lowercase. Get 2 free weeks and a membership for $7.99 a month after that. It's not even a membership. It's like fucking nothing. That's eight fucking dollars. That's 8 movies for a dollar. You're going to, and 8 TV shows for a dollar. You're going to watch 62 of them. Stop being a fucking momo. Go to Honor. Get the kettlebells. Look at the new Dolce grocery. Honor is the future for health and nutrition. Don't fuck around. Number 3, what else can these people do this week?
They could go do testicle testaments.
They could do testicle testaments. You could do a bunch of shit. You don't have to be out with these fucking losers wasting your time. Get some rest. Drink some water. Get your dick sucked and get your pussy eaten. It's a whole new week. It's a whole new set of rules. The Red Devil is here, my main man, the fucking Flying Jew. I love you, cocksuckers. Have a great day. Thank you for coming and rocking with us this morning. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Look at this room. I tried to take a picture of it. It didn't work. It's the fucking smokiest room in the world. Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus and start watching your favorite hit shows right now. Go to joeydiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner for your extended free trial, or go to huluplus.com/joey. Again, the banner at joeydiaz.net or huluplus.com/joey, lowercase.
Don't forget, we got 8 edibles left. We'll eat these on Wednesday. Oh, shit.
They'll be gone by tonight.
Oh, shit.
You eat more.
Oh, shit.
How much? What percentage of your
diet? Shut up, bitch! This is Michael Jackson.
It's like 60%
before the molestation case.
It's at least half.
I love you, Lee Cocksucker. Have a good day. You ain't high. Oh, shit. Let me see you do some jumping jacks, Lee.
Pants are going to fall down.
Come on, Lee.
I'm not wearing underwear this morning.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Go, Lee. He's a bad motherfucker.
My phone, my wallet, my phone, my pants. People. My pants are going to fall down.
Have a great day. Thank you. I love you, motherfuckers. Stay black and beautiful.
Hates me.